Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We've looked at five recent events that I've taken note of that I believe are helping as building blocks towards building a one-world government and a one-world religion. The last event that I've been covering is took place in March. It was called the Conscious Business World Summit. Excuse me. And this particular meeting was hosted by several different people, and I had gotten my foot in the door basically in discussing one of the gentlemen. His name is Steve Farrell. And from there, of course, I've digressed to some of the associates of Steve Farrell, Neil Donald Walsh, who is a noteworthy New Age leader. And we spent some time with him. And then, of course, I moved because he had written a biography, he had written a biography about Barbara Marx Hubbard, another noteworthy New Age leader, entitled The Mother of Invention, The Legacy of Barbara Marx Hubbard, and The Future of You. Now, I have digressed from that point, from Steve Farrell to Neil Donald Walsh to Barbara Marx Hubbard, but I think it's good. All this digression is a good thing in that for those who are not familiar with some key leaders, and of course there are many, many key leaders in New Age occultism, you're getting a little more information about some of these folks, maybe more than you want. I don't know, but I think it's good to know some of these people. Barbara Marx Hubbard, of course, passed away, and that, of course, this was why Neil Donald Walsh had written this biography, or actually maybe not because she'd passed away. This may have taken place before she died, but she died April 10th, 2019. Of this year, of course. And so last week I left off speaking about the New Age Encyclopedia, which is authored by J. Gordon Melton. And I just got my foot in the door describing a little bit about J. Gordon Melton. I can't give him, you know, a completely, I can't endorse him wholeheartedly, I'll put it that way. But the New Age Encyclopedia is helpful as far as information regarding many people involved in New Age matters. So I'm going to jump right in on this article about Barbara Marx Hubbard from J. Gordon Melton's New Age Encyclopedia. Barbara Marx Hubbard, who was a futurist and a New Age visionary, was born December 22, 1929, in Washington, D.C. Hubbard's awakening to a new life was occasioned by three discoveries. First, Abraham Maslow's Toward a Psychology of Being taught her of real needs beyond mere subsistence, and she came to understand her problem as one of unused growth potential. Second, from Teilhard de Chardin's Phenomenon of Man, she learned that the world also has unused growth potential and that personal growth and planetary growth are parallel phenomenon. Third, the new insights from Maslow and Desjardin were brought together for her by John Glenn's Space Flight, not to be confused with Edgar Mitchell's Space Flight, who, of course, I spent some time talking about before. But anyway, which led to a vision of the human race as a universal species possessed by a technology of transcendence. She became convinced that her generation stood on the threshold of a new age. Some of her early insights were put into her first book, The Search Is On, which was written with her husband, Earl Hubbard. Barbara Marx Hubbard became convinced not only that a new age was imminent, but that humankind had to take control of the future and plan and direct it. To give visible expression to her insight, she formed the Committee for the Future in 1970. During the last two decades, Hubbard has become one of the major spokespersons of the New Age movement and of the goals of planetary consciousness. She became a co-founder of the Foundation for Co-Creation and the Institute for the Study of Conscious Evolution to help focus the vision of what she called a possible positive future and the human role in co-creating it. She has written several books, including The Evolutionary Journey, Happy Birthday Planet Earth, and The Book of Co-Creation. Of course, you know, she's also written a few others, and one of them we will look at in our next article that we're going to take a look at here. Now, excuse me. This is a article by Warren Smith, who many of you are familiar with. It's called The New Age / New Spirituality's Alternative to Armageddon, The Selection Process. And this is what the article says. Self-described futurist and conscious evolutionist Barbara Marks Hubbard writes that in 1966 she heard an inner voice that came in response to a question she had asked aloud and directed to God. What is our story? What in our age is comparable to the birth of Christ? After asking the question, she said she fell into a dreamlike state and was given an intense vision of the future. In the vision, Hubbard saw the earth from a distance. She was made to understand that the earth was a living body and that she was a cell in its body. Feeling her oneness with the earth, she experienced its pain and confusion. When her vision abruptly fast-forwarded into the future, she could see the earth and its people were now surrounded by a radiant light. She watched as the whole planet was aligned in a magnetic field of love and lifted up by the brilliant light. Widespread healings took place as individuals experienced the merging of their own inner light with the bright light that was surrounding them. A tremendous force emanating from the light sent powerful currents of joyful energy rippling through the body of humanity. The world celebrated as all the earth was born again. The pain and confusion were gone. Love had prevailed. The inner voice told her to spread the message of the vision. It said, "Our story is a birth. It is the birth of humankind as one body. What Christ and all great beings came to earth to reveal is true. We are one body, born into this universe. Go tell the story of our birth." That was a quote from Barbara. In 1977, Hubbard began to hear this inner voice regularly. At one point, she was told, "Have utter faith in my design. Achieve deep peace. Be prepared for a great force to enter your life to do this work. It cannot enter till you have achieved deep peace. Your reward for peace, which can only be achieved by faith, is contact with the great force and the other forces waiting in the wings." On Christmas Day in 1979, Christmas Day, she had a revelation that the presence in her 1966 vision had been Christ. Then, in February of 1980, at an Episcopalian monastery in Santa Barbara, California, she describes how, in the midst of an electrifying presence of light, her higher self voice transformed into the Christ voice. Over the coming months, the Christ voice gave her more information and insight about the vision she had in 1966 and more firsthand detail about what will one day be taking place in the world. Hubbard understood that it was her mission to continue telling the story of humanity's birth. Since 1966, Hubbard has fulfilled her commission from quote-unquote Christ to tell his New Age, New Gospel story. From NASA to the former USSR, from the Georgia State Legislature to the United Nations, she has spoken to thousands of people and hundreds of groups and organizations about the planetary birth experience she had been shown in her vision. In the process, she has become a respected world citizen, known and loved by many for her insights about Christ, about God and Christ and the future of humanity. Hubbard is a co-founding board member of the World Future Society. In 1976, she seriously contemplated a run for the U.S. presidency. In 1984, her name was placed in nomination for vice president at the Democratic National Convention in San Francisco. Now, this brings to mind Marianne Williamson to me, who has been running for president on the Democratic in the Democratic Party as well. And of course, Marianne Williamson was her main claim to fame was her promotion of the Course in Miracles, which is supposedly the channeled document that Christ gave to another woman, Helen Schuschman, which was filled with Gnostic heresy and other demonically inspired information. Now, going on in this article, Hubbard, who, as I said, was placed in nomination for vice president, her speech, based on her campaign for a positive future, was carried live on C-SPAN. Today, she is on a first-name basis with many world leaders and proudly describes herself as part of the new order of the future. Well, she used to, of course. She's passed away, as I mentioned before. At least three of her books were funded by her benefactor, the late Lawrence S. Rockefeller, through his Fund for the Enhancement of the Human Spirit. She thanks Rockefeller in her books, for his generous support over the years, and she specifically thanks him for his intuition about the Christ of the 21st century. Now, in this article by Warren Smith, The Alternative to Armageddon, through the years, Hubbard has received voluminous information from her Christ. In her 1993 book, The Revelation, Our Crisis is a Birth, later renamed The Revelation, A Message of Hope for the New Millennium, Hubbard and Christ rewrite the Bible's Book of Revelation. In The Revelation, Hubbard's Christ provides specific instructions on how a united humanity, purposefully partnering with God, can literally recreate the future. This Christ teaches that the violent Armageddon script described in the Bible does not have to happen, that it is only a possible future. And this, of course, you see this in many New Age prophecies and psychics, etc. They will describe a vision of the future and say, but it doesn't have to be that way. It can change, you know, and they'll have different various scenarios and alternative endings, I guess, like some of the movies have alternate endings. So, you know, she has the alternate ending that it doesn't have to, you know, this Christ teaches that the violent Armageddon script does not have to happen. And yet, of course, the true Christ, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit of God who wrote the Book of Revelation, pretty much tells us there is going to be a violent Armageddon script. And her Christ, unfortunately, is going to be proven wrong. Anyway, thankfully, by turning to Christ, of course, we can avoid that whole mess and be safe and sound in heaven. But anyway, the article goes on to say, this violent Armageddon script described in the Bible does not have to happen, that it is only a possible future, emphasizing that a more positive future can and will manifest when humanity, without exception, openly declares its oneness with Him and all creation, you know, pantheism. This positive scenario and the means to attaining it is called the alternative to Armageddon. And as I said before, this redefinition of Bible prophecy, especially the judgment part, I mentioned before that it does show up in other New Age revelations, but it also, you have the purification of Mother Earth, of the Hopi Indians, you have the apparitions of the Roman Catholic Church, you have the Space Brothers, you know, the alien contactees who also have some of these predictions. And it's fascinating, really, to see how many different ways the devil tries to distort and reinterpret and redefine the Bible and Bible prophecy. So it's fascinating to me anyway. Anyway, the article goes on to say Hubbard's Christ describes how planet Earth is at an evolutionary crossroads. He states that the world is about to make an evolutionary leap that will take all creation to a new level. Those who awaken to their own divinity by aligning themselves as one with God and one with each other will evolve. And of course, there we have that pantheism there again. Those who continue to believe in fear and separation rather than in love and oneness will not evolve. And it's funny, I was listening to a message by Adrian Rogers, who's with the Lord now, and he was preaching from Revelation 6 or 7, and he was talking about the wrath of the Lamb, which, you know, is going to come upon the earth during the tribulation period. And he talked about the fact that it's okay to fear the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And you know, God is a God of love, but God is a God of justice, and we need to have a holy fear, or particularly if you don't know God and if you have not entered into the peace that comes with salvation and knowing Christ as your Savior, you have much to fear. But, of course, according to this New Age heretic, those who continue to believe in fear and separation, in other words, separation being that you're separate from God and from others as part of the pantheistic point of view, that's, you know, that theological view, rather than in love and oneness, will not evolve. Okay, that's already said that. Hubbard's Christ claims that with his help, most of mankind will choose to evolve, calling this evolutionary leap the planetary birth experience. And of course, that's part of the whole New Age thing, is that we need to evolve. You know, we're evolving in a physical way, but we now, as New Age people, or people who want to believe in this coming New Age, we need to be transformed, and we need to undergo a spiritual evolution or a cosmic evolution as we begin to realize our own inner divinity, that we are God, that we're one with God, and that we're one with everything else and not separate or separated. Okay. This false Christ that is spoken of here refers to it as the coming time of planetary Pentecost. The birth experience is a shared event in the future, an instant of cooperation, when everyone on the planet will be mysteriously changed in the twinkling of an eye. Does that sound familiar? There again is a redefinition of biblical terms. Change in the twinkling of an eye as humanity is collectively born again into a new creation. Those who evolve will actually become a new species, as Homo sapiens is collectively transformed into Homo universalis, or the universal humanity. Universal humanity will live together as a community of natural Christs in the new heaven, on the new earth, that is the new Jerusalem. So you have all kinds of redefinitions going on there, but the twinkling of an eye, I love that one, redefining the rapture of the church. Now, the next section, the selection process. But Hubbard's Christ, while describing the birth experience and professing his love for all mankind, nevertheless warns that there will be no place in the New Jerusalem for those who refuse to see themselves and others as a part of God. He describes, therefore, the necessity of a selection process that will select out resistant individuals who choose not to evolve. This selection process is a purification that will be accomplished through the shock of a fire. Christ, or this false Christ, states that those who see themselves as separate and not divine hinder humanity's ability to spiritually evolve. Those who deny their own divinity are cancer cells in the body of God. Christ, again, this false Christ, warns that a healthy body must have no cancer cells. Cancer cells must be healed or completely removed from the body. He describes the means of removal as the selection process. The selection process results in the deaths of those who refuse to see themselves as a part of God. After the selection process, the spirit bodies of the departed individuals will continue to be purified in the spirit realm. just a second, lost my place. Okay. Hubbard's Christ emphasizes that they will not be given another physical body, and they will not be able to rejoin humanity until they rid themselves of all self-centeredness. He defines self-centeredness as the illusion that one is separate from God, or in other words, that, you know, that you're not one with God, and that you've just forgotten that you're actually God. The self-centered temptation to see oneself as separate and not as a part of God is evil and must be overcome. He also refers to self-centeredness, or this illusion of separateness, as Satan. In this future, another redefinition, with something that liberals, New Agers, and cultists do all the time. In this future described by Hubbard's Christ, anyone who refuses to see themselves and others as God and Christ will be removed by the selection process. Those professing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior would be subject to this process. Okay. Now, these are direct quotes from Hubbard's Christ in the revelation about the selection process. And okay, there's just something here that distracted me for a second. Dearly beloved, I approach the crucifixion. This is a quote from, so supposedly a quote from the Christ, from Hubbard's Christ, from this channeled Christ. So she's quoting her false Christ. And remember, Jesus said there'd be many false Christs, didn't he? Well, this is one of them right here. And it's easy to test by the Word of God that this was a false Christ. But anyway, dearly beloved, I approach the crucifixion far more easily than I approach the selection. For the crucifixion was done unto my body. The selection will be done unto yours. The decisive moment of selection has almost come. The judgment of the quick and the dead is about to be made. The end of this phase of evolution is nearly complete. And this phase of evolution, of course, is a spiritual transformation. By your acts, you shall be judged as to whether you can evolve or must be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. There's more redefinition of biblical terminology and events. The second death is for those of you who cannot evolve by choice due to some deeply seated error in your understanding of the nature of reality. It is to open your mind that you will undergo the second death. The fundamental regression is self-centeredness, or the illusion that you are separate from God. I make war on self-centeredness. This false Christ is saying this. It shall surely be overcome. The child must become the adult. Human must become divine. That is the law. And, of course, I wrote in my notes, yes, that's what the serpent has said from the start, that the human must become divine. Now, later in the article, the selection process will exclude all who are exclusive. The selection process assures that only the loving, and according to his definition, will evolve to the stage of co-creator. Of course, we remember that Jesus Christ was exclusive. John 14:6, I love to quote it. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So, according to this Christ, the selection process will exclude all who are exclusive. Well, I guess Jesus Christ himself, the true one, would have been excluded since he was exclusive, because he said, I'm the only way in, the biblical Christ, the biblical, the true, one and only Jesus Christ. On in the article, it says, your triumph over Satan, that is, over the illusion of separation, there again, redefined term, will be a victory for the universal community. Cynics, disbelievers, those who fear and cannot love, know that the mercy of God Almighty is with you now. The second death for you is a purification, an erasing of the memory of fear through the shock of a fire. There again, another redefinition of the second death, or the lake of fire. It will burn out the imprint upon your soul that is blocking you from seeing the glory which shall be revealed in you. Since fear is not positive, right? And as I say, another redefinition of terms. Those who are not sufficiently educated to align with the design experience God's purification process as long as necessary. So, needless to say, this lake of fire is not the eternal torment of hell that the Bible tells us about. And once again, as I say, it is a redefined biblical concept or term. The lake of fire is being redefined by this false Christ via Barbara Marx Hubbard before she passed away. I'll quote that again. Those who are not sufficiently educated to align with the design experience God's purification process as long as necessary until they learn how to know God or the intention of creation experientially. They cannot return to the new earth or the new heaven in a self-centered state. The only punishment, this false Christ says, is your self-exclusion from the joy of new life. The only pity is that you are missing the mark and choosing to die unfulfilled. So basically, you know, don't fear eternal punishment and turn to Jesus Christ for salvation, because the only punishment that you're going to have is your own self-exclusion from the joy of new life. More redefined terms. These are literally seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Literally, this demon or these demons speaking through Barbara Marx Hubbard. Now, I want to see how much time I have. I want to go to another one of the hosts of the Conscious Business Summit that took place a few months ago. And I do have enough time to get into another host here. Let's see what we have. Reverend Deborah Moldau is an ordained interfaith minister committed to assisting assisting in the transformation of human consciousness to a culture of peace. Deborah is the founder of the Garden of Light, an online platform for the emerging global spirituality. The Garden of Light provides a virtual home for a new community rooted in shared spirituality so that it can become visible as a powerful force in uplifting the human spirit. She is co-director with Diane Williams of the Evolutionary Leaders Circle, a project of the Source of Synergy Foundation that brings together visionaries committed to the acceleration of the conscious evolution of humanity. Through her work with the Evolutionary Leaders, Deborah launched the Conscious Business Synergy Circle with Steve Farrell and Kurt Johnson to help engage the power of the business community in global transformation. She is, and we'll hear more about Kurt Johnson next week. She is creative consultant at Unity Earth, which creates uplifting multicultural events to promote unity and peace while building an international network of aligned organizations. Deborah served for more than 20 years as a representative to the United Nations of the World Peace Prayer Society, which promotes the universal prayer, "May peace prevail on earth." At the United Nations, she co-chaired the International Day of Peace NGO Committee and the Values Caucus, and founded the United Religions Initiative Multi-Faith Cooperation Circle. And I've talked in past podcasts about the United Religions Initiative, I believe. Anyway, my only comment on this, World Peace Prayer Society, etc., and may peace prevail on earth, is what the Bible says, that, and when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction shall come upon them. Because you know the only peace that's going to come on a worldwide basis is when the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus, returns and establishes it. So it looks like this would be a good time for me to close the program tonight.